I wanted to talk about Norm Macdonald, and then I was like, but you don't, because sometimes I just hate when people die, and it's like, you didn't have a direct personal connection, like, I did not meet the person. And then there's other people, though, that, like, if they died, I have nothing to say about them. Like, when Johnny Cash died, I'm like, I'm not gonna say shit. I'm like, oh, that's sad, and I liked him, but I didn't have anything to say about him. And I resent people. You can always tell when people talk about celebrity deaths, and they're just kind of trying to. But then I realized, and I started talking to a bunch of people yesterday, and I would talk about Norm a lot while he was still alive. So I feel like that's good reason enough to talk about someone when they're dead. It's not like, who do I barely talk about? Delta Burke. And then I would have to find things to talk about if Delta dies. I mean, now I will talk about her when she dies because I mentioned her in this capacity. But nevertheless, I wanted to talk about Norm because I tweeted yesterday, and many people seem to agree, that he was a genius who decided to be funny. He just seemed beyond all else incredibly intelligent, and he chose to do this. A lot of times you hear sad stories of comedy was all I can do, I'm a ham. And I looked it up, and he graduated from high school at 14 years old, and he got into university at 16. This is absolutely true, and, you know, ridiculous. That is really legitimately a genius. But then I also thought, it's so strange because it must have been hard being a 14-year-old and smarter than everyone else in high school, and then being in university and you're younger and also smarter than everyone else too. So he must have felt somewhat ostracized in that sense. And I always feel like he was the smartest person in the room comedically. Sometimes when I watch comedians or people in the business of show and wrestlers, a lot of times you go, oh, I can do that. Or people who are not in comedy might see a stand-up comedian and say, I can do that. But I don't think I ever did that watching Norm, which was great, which meant I could enjoy that person. They were so above me in every way that I could be a fan and enjoy and be amazed and feel certain ways about the stuff he did. And he did a lot of different kinds of comedy. He has that odd way of speaking where everything he says is funny. There's one scene from Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee when he's describing to Jerry Seinfeld, he's describing to him a scene from Kojak where Telly Savalas insists that this woman is a hooker. There's no joke there. He described the premise of the show and he said what was there. He said the lines that were there, but he has such a good mind that he can go back, and he's a slow analytical where he's like, wait a minute, this whole thing is funny that people obviously had taken for granted for decades. And it's such a great example of, like, I can make anything funny, which is, you know, I guess the proof that you're a good comedian. And the other proof of it is how often he perhaps went into the weeds topically to find something funny. So, you know, I believe that anything, theoretically, this is just a theoretical rule, I do not put it into practice, I believe that any topic can be joked about. Just the way that I believe any word should be able to be used. I mean, obviously, they come with weight and consequences, and if you use them incorrectly, you should suffer those consequences. But I just believe that as a theoretical rule. And he seemed to really like going into the narrowest areas, areas where there isn't a lot of funny material, to find the absolute funniest thing he could there. Good example of that, he was on The Daily Show, and this was like right after Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, died. And he did a bit about it. About how, like, actually, you know, 45 is a ripe old age for a crocodile hunter. And you can see Jon Stewart trying not to laugh. And he does say, please don't make me laugh at this. And that is the power of Norm, to almost make you laugh against your will. You know, this is an area where there are very few funny things, but he was so smart that he would go find the funniest thing. And another time, I mean, when he did his podcast and his Norm Macdonald Live thing, he had Super Dave on, and he did the absolute worst, weirdest, most inappropriate jokes possible. And the joke was not that what the joke was, it was the joke was that he was doing them in this way. And to that extent, when you watch Norm, if you watch Norm with somebody, you could always tell what that person's barometer for comedy was, and you could see if that person was really paying attention or not. Because on the surface, you may see one thing on the surface of what he's saying, it's totally different a lot of times than what's actually there. What was an oh, and the time he was on The View so long ago, it was like Barbara Walters and Joy, and I think Star Jones and Meredith, the real original View crew. And he kept alluding to, well, not even alluding, he was very blunt, to Bill Clinton being a murderer. And Barbara Walters did not know how to handle him. And the second she tried to shut him down, it just made it that much worse. And he kept going there and going there and going there and pushing back on her till finally she exposes herself by saying, I thought you were supposed to be funny, which is the great victory in the sense that you took this great interviewer, this legendary host, and she couldn't even go with you where you wanted to go. She was that rigid that she truly couldn't grasp why you were saying what you were saying. Which is, it was a just very fascinating. He was also, and I also always forget this, he was a writer on Roseanne. That was like one of his first TV writing jobs. And it's so weird to go watch that show and see old clips on Twitter now and be like, he was in the room for that. And that makes a lot more sense. It also makes sense when he did one of his sitcoms, The Norm Show, why he hired Laurie Metcalf. And this all makes sense now. So he did The Norm Show, which I remember watching The Norm Show as a kid, liking it, and also seeing why people wouldn't like it and it wouldn't last. The same thing with him being on Weekend Update. Some people think he was great. Obviously, a bunch of people at the time didn't like it. And the president of NBC was one with the O.J. Simpson jokes, and he went down swinging in that regard. And sometimes I would think about that. And he inspired, I think, a lot of bravery in comedians and people who need to say things publicly and want to follow their gut. And he stood in for that feeling in all of us a lot of the time. He really seemed to die by that. I don't mean, Jesus, never mind. His choices, he would go down with that ship. And his career, obviously, was rocky as a result of it, but his legend and his work continued to grow in that sense. I also remember he seemed to veer, especially when he got Twitter, he seemed to veer into this weird territory of kind of being like kind of a Tennessee Williams or a weird Oscar Wilde or a who else am I thinking of? Mark Twain kind of storyteller. He would do these tweet threads, which he's since deleted. He deleted a bunch of his tweets, and they're very hard to find. But years ago, I was in a relationship that was not going so well. But it went not well for a very long time. And that is perhaps a podcast for another day. But I will tell you this, and if you've been in this situation, you will certainly agree. Sometimes you never feel more alone than when you're with someone and neither of you want to be together. So I think we were in a hotel. Yeah, I feel like we were in a hotel. I can't remember where we were. And I remember just waking up in the middle of the night. I cannot sleep. I feel like shit. And I grabbed my phone and I'm scrolling Twitter, and Norm was tweeting this thread about a guy on a train, and it was a whole allegory of living your life and going through it and the essence of humanity, perhaps. And I just remember I kept refreshing because he was writing basically in real time, and it totally took me out of that place. And it's so rare, like I'm obviously can be a very jaded human being. It's so rare to be able to enjoy myself sometimes. And Norm was someone who made that so possible. And it was so fantastic. And so now that I look back on it, so sad and sweet. I'm like, oh my God, he must have been going through stuff on another level with his life. Yeah, always also, though, seemed to be someone who actively resisted sympathy. I think there was a magazine or a newspaper who just called him comedy's greatest liar. And I think he used, and I don't, it's not a liar that he fooled everyone, but he put his work before his life because that seemed to be the most important thing to him in terms of what he wanted to be known for. And obviously, it is, because everyone's tweeting these clips all day. And I just remember watching SNL as a kid when I was in New York in the summers. They used to replay old Saturday Night Lives on the comedy, on Comedy Central and on E at like the same time. And I would be too young to be watching these. And I never really understood, you know, the political jokes or the OJ stuff. Not only was I too young when it happened, but this is also years and years later. So none of this time-wise made any sense, but he was just so funny. And he encouraged a lot of people to just chase the thing that is funniest to them and that seems the smartest and the best to them, and to basically, in many ways, ignore the audience. And maybe not ignore them, take them with you, instead of letting them lead you, because you're the one doing the work. And that always stuck with me, and I'm sure people can see that in my work when I make jokes that are perhaps not appeasing to everybody, but the people who get them really seem to enjoy them. Which reminds me of, I'll just tell these two jokes and then that'll be it. He was at some YouTube awards show, and he was talking about how all the stars are here. And the joke is that he knew none of them. And he was reading off their names. He had no idea who the hell they were. And then, in the middle of an interview, he turned around and he said, oh, look, Bobby McFerrin is here. And Bobby McFerrin is just the perfect, odd, obscure celebrity to pretend is there in a room full of popular YouTubers. And the last joke, I think this is my favorite one because it reads very well, and it's just short and sweet. It's just a very, very good joke. And if you just, it's like doing a sculpture and leaving it. You could write this and put it on a piece of paper and throw the paper on the ground in the middle of the street. Years later, someone would come by and read this and laugh, and that's what makes it a good joke. And I quote, ID is a strange abbreviation. I is short for I, and D is short for identification. That was Norm. This has been More Content with RJ City.